The title of this sermon, in fact, the sermon series that will go over the next 3 to 4 Wednesday nights, the title is The Earth Before the Flood and the Dinosaur Mystery. Have you ever wondered why the patriarchs of the Old Testament, prior to the flood, lived so much longer lives than those who were born after the flood? In fact, there's a chart in my Bible in the book of Genesis that shows the lives of men of the Bible before and after the flood. So in those folks before the flood, it shows that Adam lived to be 930 years old. Enosh was 905 years old when he died. Methuselah, we all know he was the oldest known man. He lived to be 969 years old. Even Noah lived to be 950 years old. But just a few generations later, after the flood, Abraham lived to be 175 years, Jacob 147, Moses 120 years, and it just keeps declining. Joseph 110 years. In fact, in the Bible, in Psalm 90 and verse 10, the psalm says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years." So it's a good thing to know here in our church that we've got a lot of folks that by reason of strength, that they're in their 80s and some even in their early 90s. We thank God for that. The Bible provides historic timelines. I love history. I love the perspective of looking at events in the Bible and gaining an ideal of when those things occurred in history. For example, Christ was born approximately 4,004 years after the creation of man in the Garden of Eden. The flood occurred approximately 1,656 years after creation. So 1,656 years after God created Adam, then the flood occurred that destroyed all of the people on the earth except for, of course, Noah and his family. By the way, another way of looking at the timing of the flood, it occurred in the year 2348 B.C., 2,348 years before the birth of our Savior. So when you read in Psalm 90 and 10 that the life of a man was 70 or 80 years, that psalm was written approximately 900 to 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And it was written over 1,300 years after the flood. So in 1,300 years after the flood, the average age of mankind was 70 to 80 years old. It had gone from over 900 years, based on what we saw in the earlier recorded lives of the patriarchs in the Bible, over 900 years to actually less than 100 years. So what happened? How did men and women live for over 900 years on the earth before the flood, and a few generations later drop to 120 years, then drop even further to 70 or 80 years, according to the scripture we've read in the book of Psalms? Some would speculate that perhaps it was due to the cumulative effect of the curse on the earth, that over time, sickness and disease grew and became worse and worse, and over time, that cumulative effect of the curse on the earth lowered the age of mankind. Others might suggest that perhaps it was due to man's poor diet, that they began to eat way too much red meat and fat and too much sugar, sort of like many of us do today, and that created a massive decline in the length of time men and women lived on the earth. In a very interesting book that I recently completed by Dr. Job Martin, he's a scientist, and he presents a theory based upon God's Word, and I want to share that theory with you. Now, please keep in mind, this is a theory. I'm not here saying that this is fact. It is theory, but this theory is very much based upon the Word of God in the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. We'll read Genesis chapter 1, 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. In this scripture in Genesis, it says that God divided the waters. He put some water above the firmament, which is heaven, and left some water under the firmament. So when I said the firmament is heaven, the Bible makes reference to three different heavens. So when we're looking at this scripture, what exactly is this expression, the firmament, speaking of? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, if you continue to read it in Genesis in that first chapter in verse 20, the word says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth." Now listen to this last part. "Fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So the description that birds are flying in the open firmament of heaven is a description that's describing our atmosphere or the sky. Birds fly up above the earth in the sky or our atmosphere. So this reference to the firmament that we read in Genesis 1 and verse 7, this firmament is really also referenced as heaven, and it is the place where the birds fly in the air. It's also known by scholars of the Bible as the first heaven. These verses suggest that God separated the waters that covered the earth in the beginning. He left some water on the earth, which is below the firmament, and he put some water above the earth, up in the sky where the birds fly. So that water is above the sky. It is above the firmament. It's very clear in the description. It's above it. So as to avoid any confusion regarding the word heaven and firmament, let's clarify the uses of the Hebrew word that's translated as expanse or firmament or heaven. There's three different heavens I mentioned already that are mentioned in the Bible. One is the atmospheric heaven. The second is the heaven where the stars are, or the stellar heaven. And the third is the place we think of where God is, the third heaven or paradise. In fact, the third heaven is referenced clearly in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4. Look at that scripture with me for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 4. Paul is speaking, by the way, in this verse, and he's speaking of himself in the third person. And he's doing that because he didn't want to make it look as if he's boasting about himself. Listen to his words. "I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise." So Paul references the third heaven in paradise in that same description. It is the place where God resides. That's the third heaven. So in summary, we're told that God put some waters below and some waters above the atmospheric heaven. That's part of his original creation. And in this setting, it did not rain on the earth. In fact, it had never rained on the earth until the flood. If it had rained on the earth prior to the flood, then Noah would have seen rainbows. Other people have seen rainbows. But one had never existed until it rained, which occurred during the flood. In fact, the Bible tells us the fact that it never rained on the earth in Genesis 2, 4 through 6. "This is the history of the heavens," notice that's plural, "the heavens, and the earth when they were created, and in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth." So this description of the condition and atmosphere of the earth is that, one, that it never rained, and mist came up from the ground to water the earth. This was an atmosphere In the beginning, in the creation of this world that the Bible speaks of in Genesis, this was an atmosphere that was radically and completely different than it is today. The atmosphere, firmament or heaven that's spoken of that we read in Genesis, separated the water so that there was water above the atmosphere, there was water on the earth, and mist went up to water everything, and there was no rain. That's the description of the conditions of this earth in its early creation, God's original creation. In that creation, scientists like creation scientists, specifically like Dr. Job Martin, believe that this water above the atmosphere, above the sky, was a sort of a water canopy. And this water canopy would protect the earth from any cosmic radiation. And it might help explain the 900-year lifespans before the flood. This water canopy would filter out many of the harmful rays of the sun, which might speed up the aging process. So by taking out many of the harmful rays of the sun, the aging process slows down. For example, water blocks alpha and beta radiation penetration. Water in combination with the ozone layer would block most of the ultraviolet radiations from the sunlight. So in effect, with this water canopy blocking these radiations, the earth would be a much healthier place to live before the flood. The scientist Dr. Job Martin believes that the water above the atmosphere in those years was a type of water vapor, or it might have even been liquid water. The weight of that water vapor or liquid water above the atmosphere would have increased atmospheric pressure on the earth and perhaps even increase the oxygen content. So in this environment, with heavier atmospheric pressure and higher oxygen content, healing would be more efficient. The body itself of the breathing and the lungs and the heart would be more efficient. It would require less of the rhythm of the beating of the heart and less taking a breath because of the atmospheric pressure and the more oxygen. As many of you are aware, many hospitals have pressurized rooms called hyperbaric rooms. They also have devices known as hyperbaric chambers. And in my work in banking before I became involved in ministry, our bank specialized in doing a lot of medical lending to hospitals and clinics, surgery centers. We financed a part of a hospital that had a hyperbaric room and had multiple hyperbaric chambers that were used for healing. Maybe some of you have known of folks that had difficulty healing of a wound or other sickness, and so they spent time in hyperbaric chambers or hyperbaric rooms. And because of that, it speeded up the healing process. God could have created this water canopy surrounding the earth that's described in Genesis. He could have created it exactly the right size and thickness and distance from the earth to enable plants to get enough light for photosynthesis while blocking the harmful radiation and excessive heat. The earth would have been like a giant terrarium. You might remember terrariums when you were in school. It was a glass enclosure, and you had plants growing in there, and you had light that would provide warmth and make a constant temperature. There was very little change in the temperature in that terrarium, and there was plenty of light and moisture, and it grew real healthy plants. Well, looking back at the condition of the earth before the flood, we've already noted that the Bible says that there was no rain, that the earth was watered by a mist. And you can see that there would, in effect, be sort of a giant greenhouse for the whole earth. The whole earth with that water canopy surrounding it would be like a giant greenhouse surrounding all of the earth. And by the way, there is evidence of this giant greenhouse effect on the earth. There's evidence seen by scientists today. Are you aware that palm tree fossils... That's right, I said palm tree fossils have been found in Alaska and broadleaf ferns in the Antarctic. You're thinking, how could that be? There's no way that palm trees or ferns could grow in Alaska or in the Arctic. But Bible creation scientists like Dr. Job Martin will tell you, no problem. Palm trees grew in Alaska, Ferns grew in the Arctic in the tropical world that was the world before the flood. These trees and plants were buried during the flood of Noah's day, resulting in their fossilization. That's why we see evidence of it today. Scientists have actually found tropical forest. This is hard to believe. Tropical forest and coal deposits in Antarctica. Now, you can't have coal deposits without plant life that decays. And there's also evidence of tropical forest in Antarctica. They found the evidence because they once grew there. Fruit trees have been found that were apparently quick frozen, some over 90 feet tall with green leaves. They've been found in New Siberian islands, where today it's so cold and frozen so much of the year that only little one-inch high willows will grow in that frozen tundra. Yet scientists have found 90 feet tall fruit trees in those same areas. This all happened, the growth of these palm trees and ferns and fruit trees at the North and South Poles, that all happened in the Earth's pre-flood atmosphere when the Earth was from North Pole to South Pole, greenhouse warm. You heard me right. The Earth from the North Pole to the South Pole was greenhouse warm because, in effect, it was a massive greenhouse with that water vapor canopy covering the entirety of the Earth. It maintained a more constant temperature. It maintained a warmth over the whole Earth. The Earth would have, by the way, this constant temperature with that greenhouse canopy all over it. It would never get too cold. It would never get too hot. And even today, we all know when there's massive cloud cover and there's thick clouds that it moderates the temperature here where we live. With heavy cloud cover, often you'll see the high during the day may be 73 degrees and that night the low may only be 70 degrees because those clouds moderate the temperature. The sun is still up there. It's up there on top of the clouds, but the temperature below the clouds is more stable. That's the way it was on the earth prior to the flood. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, think about it. He placed the earth and the sun in just the right relationship to each other, and quite possibly the water canopy above the atmosphere of the sky where the birds fly, but below the ozone layer. So that water canopy is there, and God's Word clearly says He put water up there above where the birds fly. So in summary, this incredible atmosphere that was on the earth prior to the flood had more oxygen, had more atmospheric pressure, had mild temperatures, it had steady moisture, and it could easily contribute to the long lives of the patriarchs who lived before the flood. Now, some scientists, even today, scientists that may be atheists, but they will teach and say that they firmly believe that with the filtering out of harmful solar radiation, humans might be able to live close to 1,000 years. What do you know? What their scientists are theorizing was actually fact on the world prior to the flood. As we know, it's recorded so many of the patriarchs living over 900 years. By the way, there's another important theory relating to the shielding of radiation by the water canopy that would have been in effect during those first 1,600 years of creation. The water canopy would have reduced radiation from the sun and would have made negligible the amounts of carbon-14 or C-14 to have formed in those 1,600 plus years prior to the flood. So in effect, all of the scientific data in which they are claiming that, oh, this rock was here 100 million years or this particular growth was here millions of years ago, that totally wipes out, by the way, the 1,600 years in which there would have been very little radiation coming in the earth because of the water canopy, would completely wipe out those scientific theories of measuring C-14 as part of their dating process. You know, when you go somewhere like Sherry and I did earlier this year to Longhorn Caverns, or a couple of years ago to Carlsbad Caverns, and those tour guides tell you now, this rock, this fossil, this formation occurred millions of years ago. It's all false science. I want to conclude tonight by just telling you that the Bible tells us that the world was created in six literal days. I believe the Word of God. I am a creationist in theory and in ideal regarding how God told us He created the world. We'll examine that in more detail in this series on the earth before the flood and the mystery of the dinosaurs. And I hope that you'll be like me, that when we're through, you will see and know that when the Word of God says God did this in one day, it's exactly true. We can count on it. It is His Word, and we praise God for His Word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful insights and knowledge and wisdom given to us as we read your word. We thank you for the understanding, Father, that you give our minds and our hearts. And you remind us again and again that the Bible is true. What it says is true. We can believe it. We can stand on it. Our faith is in you because of your word. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.